Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed may not be the same as those on KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the preacher at the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, and here with my good friend and partner, Tom Moore, the preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and we are so glad that you've tuned in to the program tonight. We want to remind you right up front that this is a live call-in talk show, and you can be a participant in this show by making a comment, giving us a call, or asking a question. The number to call is 254-445-2473. That'll be 254-445-2473. Or you can click into the on your internet at the at our website. You can go to harrisandmoore.org and follow the directions there, and you will click in. It will take you to the KEQX station, the 89.7, and just follow the directions there, and you can listen to us on the internet as well. If you've got some friends out there that can't pick up our radio station on the airwaves, send them to the website so they can be a participant as well. Today, we have been talking about the life of Paul and some of the things that Paul has done and the courageous man that he was as a spokesperson for Jesus Christ. But we're going to change gears a little bit today because every now and then news that is current rears its ugly head, and we think you ought to know about it. Tonight, and we have to do this pretty regularly, and the reason that we have to do it pretty regularly is because this grievous topic that plagues our country, our society in which we live, it rears its ugly head on a regular basis, and within the last 24 hours, we have some new news that has broken on the WorldNet Daily, the national news source, that probably won't make it in your news media on your television. You won't get it on the 6 o'clock news. You won't get it on the 10 o'clock news. But you're going to get it here at KEQX. And we invite you to call in and give us your comments. Now, this disturbing news comes out of the California education system. And before we even start, we want to set the record straight. You have heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. And we're going to hear tonight what men are trying to do to our society and to our education system. And we're going to compare that with what God has to say. Now, what we have coming out of the California education system will sooner or later continue to permeate the rest of this country, one state at a time, perhaps. I don't know just exactly how it does it, but a lot of things that start out in California end up over there on the other side of the United States of America, and a lot of it is not good, and this is one of them. I'm going to give you a term, and you will hear this term later on, separate and apart from this radio program. The term that I'm going to give to you is gender liberation. Now, that doesn't even sound like a harmful term until you find out what gender liberation is, and we have a definition of it coming out of this California educational system, and it means, quote, male-female distinctions must be eliminated in order to liberate children from unnecessary stereotypes. This is not a movement seeking equal rights, but a movement seeking to obliterate our God-given distinctions between male and female. And so they are saying that there is a stereotype out there, and they're using that word as if it were some kind of a curse word. And the stereotypes that they're talking about, we will discuss. But this terminology that they come in here with is this gender liberation. And what we see here is the California educational system, or the California, what is the appropriate terminology for that, Tom? Do you know?
The California Teachers Association.
That's it. The California Teachers Association. They're 325,000 members strong, and they have actually allied themselves with the radical homosexual activists over there in California, and they're pushing teachers to take steps into teaching children into believing that gender neutrality is ideal for society. And this last October, just a few months back, this California Teachers Association hosted, now get this, folks, they hosted its third annual gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender conference under the theme Pride in Education. Now, Tom, what they are trying to do here, and we've talked about this just a little bit, what they are trying to do is teach children at a very, very early age that there is no distinction between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you look around the world today, anybody, you know, this is almost comic if it wasn't so sad,
mm-hmm.
trying to teach our children that there is no difference between male and female. As a matter of fact, what we're going to see later on as we delve into this, they're going to say, well, you might look male on the outside, but you're female on the inside. And they're trying to confuse our people and say that there is no real distinction in their being male and female. You know, and they call this stereotyping.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to read a definition from Webster's Dictionary or the dictionary.com about stereotype. And then when we read that, we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about that same kind of scenario. And we're going to see that, the Bible is really the standard for stereotyping as is defined by the dictionary.
For example,
you know, and what we're doing here is we're going to defeat these people using their own terminology.
Right.
Well, stereotype is a process now often replaced by more advanced methods for making metal printing plates by taking a mold of composed type or the like in paper mache or materials and then taking from that mold a cast in type metal. In other words, it is making a mold. Or in case of making money or license plate, it is making a plate by which all other things are formed from. Now, we understand that that about molds, plates for making the license plates or plates for making money. You have one and everything else is measured off of that or gauged off of that. Are made after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're saying stereotyping. Well, didn't God, David, in the very beginning, set forth a stereotype by which all other human beings in the future are to be measured?
There is no doubt about it. And the Bible gives us the information that you just got through talking about in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. When we look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, I think this is very ironic that God has put this at the very beginning. At the beginning, when he makes the world and all that in it is, he gives us the stereotype for man.
That's right. It's almost like he knew that man was going to mess things up.
Absolutely.
And he had to set it up and set the standard at the very beginning
mm-hmm.
about male and female. Man's messing it all up. God at the very beginning has told us that there is a distinction between the male and the female, and that is to always be recognized. And yet today we have these people who are trying to commingle them so there is no separate recognition anymore.
No doubt. No doubt. Now, here's what the Bible has to say. You've heard what men have had to say about this already, this unnecessary stereotyping. Here's what God's Word has to say. Verse 26, Genesis chapter 1. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, I want you to notice there that we are made in the likeness of God.
That's right.
In the spiritual likeness of God, and there's only one thing that can shatter that, and it's sin.
That's right. You know, when we look at this definition that is given about this gender liberation, it says there the male-female distinctions must be eliminated in order to liberate children from unnecessary stereotypes. Now, in that, that tells us that there are some stereotypes that are necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But who said and who gave them the information that telling the difference between male and female is unnecessary, when the Bible, in the very beginning, tells us it is a very necessary item?
Absolutely, it's necessary, and it's only unnecessary when it doesn't fit their scheme of things.
That's exactly
and,
right.
And we'll see this. In Genesis chapter 2, I think it's very, very important that we read this. After God had made Adam, later on he said it's not good for man to be alone, and so he made Eve from Adam. And then he presented Eve to Adam, and Adam said, "For this cause, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh."
Mm-hmm.
And so we see here, not only did he institute male and female, man and woman, he put them together as husband and wife.
That's right.
There is a definite, very, very clear distinction made between male and female. Do we have a caller on the line? Hello, caller. Would you give us your name and your question or your comment, please?
Oh, this is Ron.
Yes, Ron.
Well, anyway, you know, that law says there's, what they're saying, there's no distinction.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to ask them California idiots, have they ever seen a pregnant man or a pregnant bull?
Very good. Very good point.
Let's use a little bit of common sense here, you know. How many guys you know worry about getting pregnant?
No, they don't, Ron, and that's a very good point that you're making there. A very good point. But do you know? Do you know that there is legislation out there in California to make this not happen, that there would be a distinction between male and female? We're going to get into this in just a moment. What they actually want is for instance, they want bathrooms to be marked, but they want children to be able to make up their own mind which one they need to go into.
Well, that's about half stupid.
Well, yes, and you are absolutely correct. The point that we're trying to make here, though, is if we do not get up in arms over this here, don't think it's not coming this way.
Well, I think we just ought to get a rope. Find a tall tree and a short rope.
Well, I tell you, Ron, you carry the sentiments of a lot of people. This is just outrageously infuriating, if you will, to think that we have people trying to make things happen their way and trying to take away what our God-given rights are as male and female.
At least people, I guess, got a college education even.
Not only that, they've got more than just a regular Bachelor of Arts. We'll find some that have even a master's and a PhD in psychiatry. And we're going to even get into that, how that psychiatry today is absolutely and totally opposed to God's will in this very matter that we're speaking about.
Well, most psychiatrists are nuts anyway.
Well, you got to be nutty to be a psychiatrist, I hear.
Well,
but you know, Ron.
Before you can be a certified psychiatrist, you got to go and be analyzed by another psychiatrist.
It kind of propagates, and that's kind of what I'm reminded of in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 13 about all this going on. It says there, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Ron, isn't that exactly what we're seeing here with regard to these Californians and others who are trying to push this kind of agenda, trying to take away the distinction of the sexes?
I always did think people from California was crazy anyway.
But, you know, it's a very dangerous thing because it almost always seems that when something has started in California, before long it starts inching this way. And that's why David and I thought it was very important for us to talk about this before it gets this way, because one of the things California is trying to do is to put it into their education system in their schools. And, Ron, that's one of the things that really bothers me about this. It's one thing for it to be talked about, but for our kids to be educated in this, and we're going to see some of the people who were involved in this were preschool teachers and special ed teachers.
Well, I'm going to say one more thing, and I'm going to get off air.
All righty.
Where's the San Andreas Fault when we need it? I mean, if we have that thing, you know, California just drops off there, we can just declare it as a separate country, or just maybe it'll just sink to the bottom.
Well, Ron, there are a lot of people that share your same sentiments, and we really, really appreciate you calling in. We want people to be aware of what's coming this way. If you've got a phone number to your congressman, you need to alert these congressmen and tell them of your anxieties over this, because it's happening right now as we speak. This is not something that somebody's dreaming up. It's going on right now as we speak, and it's going to infuriate you. The further we get into this program, you're liable to call back and tell us to hush.
I may do that too.
Okay.
Adios.
Okay, thanks for calling in, Ron. Great call.
Well, David, we've seen here very clearly that what man is trying to do is to erase the sex distinction. They're trying to eliminate genders, as they call it, gender liberation. And the Bible, though, says something much different. From the very beginning, as we've noticed there in Genesis chapter 1, he made a distinction. You see, that, David, is the stereotype that God has set forth. And then that is the plate, if you will. That is the mold by which we, over the years, are also supposed to designate people today. There is male and there is female. Now, to call this an unnecessary stereotype is flying in the face of God. And as a matter of fact, you're going to see a lot of people who are going to have the mentality, well, that's just Jesus talking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't that what we want?
Absolutely.
Isn't that what we want? The Bible to be our stereotype, the Bible to be our guide, the Bible to be that which directs us, and we need to let that do it instead of what men are doing. And again, we just need to be aware of this. But this is also, this very sect distinction is also taught in the New Testament, isn't it, David?
There is no doubt. No doubt. In Ephesians chapter 5, as we read just a moment ago, when Adam was presented Eve, he says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife. When we get to Ephesians chapter 5, we have the duties and the obligation of the woman who is the wife. And verse number 22 says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Then in verse 31, he says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That comes all the way from the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 that we read, where we are made in the image of God, male and female made he them.
That's right. If God recognizes it, then we need to recognize it.
We must.
You know, they're doing a lot of this because they're trying to say we need some equal rights for everyone. You know, we don't want the man or the female to have more rights than another man. But in reality, David, what they're doing is trying to obliterate God's distinction of the sexes. God says there is male, there is female, and they need to be recognized as such. And how, And you can go throughout the Bible constantly. It's recognizing the difference between male and female. Well, you know, we don't, the world does not realize what they're asking for when they're asking for no distinction between male and female, when they're asking for this gender liberation. They do not know.
No, they don't. And you want to see how angry God gets with this, all you have to do, now it's all through the Old Testament, the New Testament in Romans chapter 1, mark it down. If somebody wants to know, you need to be able to tell you. And by the way, parents, you parents that are listening out there, you grandparents that are listening out there, don't be shy about teaching your children what God has to say about homosexuality, because I will guarantee you that in your school system, especially even in the state of Texas, in our higher learning systems, such as the universities, and we had a bout with them right here over at Tarleton State over this very same thing, they are not shy about teaching your children what they think about homosexuality and how everybody else is a bigot that doesn't believe with the same way that they do. But listen to what God says in verse number 25 of Romans chapter 1. He says, who changed, well, back it up to verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, we've seen that already in the case of the word stereotype. They have changed the truth of God, who has made man in his own image, and they're saying that, no, this is an unnecessary stereotype. We'll have it any old way we want. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them up. That means He gave them over. He will have nothing to do with them unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving their natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, He gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. Now, he makes the distinction here between the male and the female.
Exactly. Now, God made this distinction. And yet, and it's very clear. We saw it in Genesis. Mm-hmm. We saw it in Ephesians. We see it here in the book of Romans. The question I have, David, is why are they doing this? Why are they trying to do away with male-female distinction? Is it because they're trying for equal rights, or is there some other thing behind this?
The radical homosexual agenda is behind every single step of this thing.
Exactly.
The radical homosexual, they are trying to promote homosexuality. If you will, I want you to bear with us here, and I want you to, as I mentioned just a moment ago, in October, the California Teachers Association hosted its third annual, this is the third time they've done this, Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Conference under the theme Pride in Education. Now, three things came out of here that are worth noting. This literature that they distributed to public school teachers at this conference included these three things. Number one, one way of acknowledging the need of all people is to designate restrooms as gender neutral. Each of us can decide for ourselves in which bathroom we belong. That's number one. Number two, please do not assume anyone's gender. Even people you may have met in the past, a person's external appearance may not match their internal gender identity. And then number three, pay attention to a person's purposeful gender expression. We consider it polite to ask, what pronoun do you prefer? How do you identify before using pronouns or gendered words for anyone? In other words, you can't say he's a he or she's a she.
Unless she wants you to.
Exactly.
Or he wants you to.
Exactly.
Or it wants you to.
Right. Now, backing up there, please do not assume anyone's gender, even people you may have met in the past. A person's external appearance may not match their internal gender identity. Now, what that tells me here is what they're trying to promote. The implication is that you can't really know. If you're a male, you may be a female trapped in a male's body. If you are a female, you may be a male trapped in a female's body. You cannot really know whether you are male or female. That is the implication that they're giving us here, Tom. Now this is an absolute ridiculous thing, but only if you put it in a child's mind.
Right.
If a child has never been educated this way, why would he ever think anything like that?
Well, he wouldn't, because it's absurd. And that's why they're trying to get it into our school systems, because these young kids who are very impressionable, who have sponge-like minds, they're going to soak this stuff up, they're going to put it into their mind, and they're going to think it's always been there, but it's because someone has put it there, and it does not belong there. I want you to think about something else here. It's not just the absurdity of thinking that a person can be on the outside male, on the inside female. But just think about the logistics of what we're going to have here. If people can decide what bathroom they want to go to. If a woman wants to go to the women's restroom, is she going to feel safe? When a man decides, you know what, I'm really female on the inside, I'm going to go in the bathroom, and they do that under the guise, well, you know, I might be female on the inside, but in reality, all they want to do is they're just a mean person want to peep at the women.
And I guess if someone were to bow up and say, you are not going in there, that would be a form of bullying. That would be a form of bullying, and that would be a form of a hate crime, maybe. I don't rightly know, but what we have here is absolute and total chaos. God has made a distinction. We have no right to tear down the distinction that God has made between male and female. As a matter of fact, we go in here, we've got to work. Have we got a caller on the line? Okay, caller, would you give us your name and your question or your comment, please?
My name is Tony.
Yes,
and
sir.
My comment, as I told the gentleman to answer the phone, was that y'all's conversation just a moment ago was about you couldn't call an individual by their gender. And last year, that same exact thing happened up here at Tarleton State University.
Really?
Yes, it sure did.
What was the occasion for it?
Well, what brought all this about was that my daughter had to take a freshman English professor that she didn't know nothing about. She came home and crying, and my wife talked to her, and she was just extremely upset and wouldn't tell her, but finally we got it that she said that the professor was extremely vulgar. And so I called the JTAC. The JTAC told me that without a little investigation, that they couldn't print anything or really do anything about it. So I went to the head of the English department. And when this individual answered, I said, ma'am, and she jumped down my throat with both feet and said, I'm not a ma'am. I said, well, I'm kind of lost for words. I said, for the way I was raised, you're either a ma'am or a sir. And she says, I'm a professor, dean of education, or some title of that sort. I can't exactly remember. And I said, well, you know, I don't, I'm not sure how to address this without being rude or vulgar. And I said, I'm not going to go that far. But I said, and I explained the situation with this professor. And she said, well, that's his method of teaching. And I said, ma'am, I said, and she stopped me again. She said, do not ever call me ma'am again. And so I said, well, whatever you want to call yourself, I'm going to tell you this much. I said, I graduated from Tarleton State University, and they didn't have to use not one word of vulgar in the 4 years of college that I went there. And she said, I'm backing him up 100%. She said, I back up all my teachers. And I made a mistake again saying ma'am. and it just escalated into a verbal fight over the phone. But, and after I got back home, I had some other girls that came forth and said the same thing. And then the incident at Tarleton came about that they had all the uproar. And so, it was just something that as a parent, it just extremely upset me. And furthermore, is that I asked myself, well, when did things stop, get to where we didn't say ma'am and sir? If they want to do that in California, that's fine. Stay in California. But this is Texas.
You know, Tony, that tells us that this is here and we better beware. You know, sometimes we say, well, it's always going to happen over there in that Hollywood state, California state. But you have showed us very clearly that it's already here and it's in our colleges. The question I have, Tony, is how long is it going to be before it's in our elementaries?
It's already there.
Yeah.
Well, we may not know it, but it is already there,
and very subtly. And this is what is so scary about it: the subtlety of this whole thing, from kindergarten all the way up. The subtlety of this whole thing it ought to be scaring everybody to death, and everybody ought to be calling and finding out what their children are doing. The majority of us parents. What we have done in the past, we have taken our children to school knowing that our school system is going to educate our children and not teach them anything that's going to be detrimental to their health, their mental health, or their physical health. And now we drop our children off to our public school systems, and we will have somebody like this ma'am that you were talking about in our school systems that want to push their radical homosexual agenda or radical feminist agenda, either one doesn't make any difference to me. They want to push this on our children, and our children are you're talking about teenagers versus people that have some kind of a degree that they want to throw around as if they were some type of demigods that everybody ought to bow down to because they're educated now. And basically, all that professor education means is that there are a bunch of other morons just like them that declared them to be professors.
Exactly right. And the thing of it is, and everybody asks, what can we do? Well, and my wife has been a Christian her whole life. Until 3 years ago, I wasn't. But something that I learned off y'all's program, I think it was off y'all's program, I've listened a lot more since I've become a Christian, was in one of the things, I know this kind of is going to seem off track at first, but our president every 12 days is speaking to a college or university trying to sway the younger people into socialism.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know that. Okay, well, he's smart enough to know that he's picking a group of people that sees an unhappy United States right now, and we're not as patriotic as we was 30 or 40 years ago whenever I was in school. But so that what that tells me is if we want to beat those people, like for me, for instance, I told my wife before I was saved, I said, if you're raised with parents that are car thieves, you don't see anything wrong with stealing cars.
Exactly.
So if we want to stop this, there's two things that I see happening. And I used to, I didn't believe in homeschooling, but as time goes on, I favor it more if it will help the situation. But first and foremost, children need to be in church at as earliest age possible, and those values need to be instilled in them. Because if you don't, I mean, I've always, even when I was, long as I can remember, I always knew there was a God, never doubted it, but I didn't know what came with it. I didn't understand it. And so, but also too, in those years, I told my wife, I said, when my grandmother took me to church, that's when the preacher stood up there and screamed the devil. And I was so scared. I didn't, you know, instead of what today they use love as a way to get the message across. Back then they used Satan and the, and the little red men and the fire and all that to try to scare you into it. The same as police officers. When I was a kid, they'd tell you, I'm going to get the police to get you. Well, the police are there to help you. So, number one, I guess just education is the key to the whole deal, but we got to start earlier. And we say, well, as parents, we're working to make a living, and it's hard to divide that time up, which, I mean, I'm a grandparent now. My children are gone, but I'm not so old that I don't remember that. It's hard to find that time to spend with your kids and still make a living.
Exactly. That's a really good point. And I wonder, Tony, how it will be when our kids come home from school and no longer call us daddy and mama because that's not gender correct.
Well,
you know, is it that far away? If that's the way
it's going
to be, it's
not that far. It's closer than we think, and that's what y'all said a while ago about you better wake up and look at it now, because it's got to be done now. By the time they get here, it'll be too late.
Mm-hmm. You know, this legislation, it comes in through the back door, seems like every time. But you know,
well, exactly. The look at the health bill, and that's why sometimes some of our representatives that I thought so much of. After that health bill, I was really disgusted with them when there were pieces in that health bill that, you know, that these people wrote up there. They probably sat there and laughed about, I'm going to put this stupid thing in there because they're not going to read it.
Yeah,
and it passed.
Exactly.
Yeah, it did. It
you
did.
Know?
And see, this is what we've been, this goes back to our motto in this radio program. You have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. When we use the Bible as a standard, we will never, ever go wrong. And our forefathers, the framers of the Constitution, they based the Constitution, the supreme law of this land, based upon the words of the Bible, based upon God-given rights that we have been given by God ourselves. They are all a gift, and now we've got it in constitutional form. Now we have been asleep at the wheel for 30 years, and we have allowed these individuals to get in there who care nothing about our Constitution, who care absolutely nothing about God-given standards, and they want immorality to run rampant, and they want to liberate everybody until we've got absolute and total chaos here, and we can have a dictatorship.
Exactly right. And the thing of it is, if you stop and look back up through the last 30 years, though, when they started taking God out of certain things, and it gradually, as the years went on, it got more and more and more. Look at the discipline of our children, and I'm not saying don't beat your kids, but my granddaddy had always had a saying. He said, God gave little horses and children a rear end, spank their rear and leave their head alone. You know,
that's a biblical principle.
He said, there's a difference between spanking a child and beating it. He said,
that's
nope.
Right.
He said, anybody beats a child ought to be beat.
All right.
You know, but he said also, too, you know, but the thing of it is, people take one little segment of a verse and can switch it into multitudes of things. But the bottom line is, when you take God out of your life, why would you expect Him to help you?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very true. That is very, very true.
So, we're fortunate enough to know that He knows some of us ain't very smart. He will help us.
Well, Tony, this is a great call, and I'm so glad that you brought this to our attention. We know, and a couple of years ago, we had a fight right here on this radio station with all of the professors down there at Tarleton State University over this homosexual issue. And we were told then that they were going to back them up to the hilt. They were not going to take anything back.
Well, that's what they told me, and that's why I told them. I said, I graduated from Tarleton State University, but I said, I'm ashamed to know it now. And I wouldn't want anybody to know it, because if God's not in it, then, I mean, it just breaks my heart.
Well, from Dr. Dictavio on down, they need to reassess what we have up there, because I for one, am not in favor of paying my tax dollars to formulate the kids that they're throwing out of there with their kind of mental attitudes toward homosexuality.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like as a taxpayer, we're paying them to teach our kids that, and I don't believe it. If I don't believe it, then I almost don't want to pay my taxes.
That's very true. Very true.
But anyway, I just wanted, like I say, after that deal with that professor up there, I mean, really, really upset me. And I thought, I wonder if other people knew what was going on, or am I the only one that just thinks this way?
Well, no. Tony, that was an excellent, excellent illustration of exactly what we're talking about and what we're warning about it. So we really appreciate you calling.
Okay, and we appreciate y'all's program. It's very informational. I've learned a lot, and y'all are doing a good job.
Oh well, thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Okay.
Keep tuning in. Call in frequently. We'll love to hear you.
Okay, thank you.
You know, David, one of the things that really is hard for me to understand is that they talk about liberation.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to liberate these people. Well, what are they liberating them from? What they're liberating them from is the Bible.
Sure.
You know, that's the bottom line. When we start allowing them to decide for themselves what bathroom to go to, or as Tony mentioned, being ridiculed because you're being courteous and calling a woman ma'am. You know, where have we gone? What are we going from when we can't even say ma'am and sir, or when our kids may come home and can't even call us, well, the teacher said I can't call you daddy anymore because that's gender oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are we going with that? Well, we've going to have to start young with our kids, just like these people are trying to do. Now, I believe we have another caller on the line. Caller, if you give us your name and comment, we sure would appreciate it.
Okay. This is Charlotte.
Charlotte.
You don't want to hear from me. But
we remember you, Charlotte. We're glad you called in.
Okay. Well, what do you think about morphodites? I mean, now, what are they?
Morphodites.
Yes.
Explain me a morphodite.
A morphodite is somebody that's a male and female.
Oh.
And I just wondered what your comment would be on that.
Well, you know, there is what they call like transgender people, or people who that are sexually. You're talking about those who believe that are born both with sexual.
They're not. They don't believe that. They are that.
You mean they? How are they that physically?
Yes, they were born that way. Because I had a friend that was one, and that's why I'm calling to see what you have to say about that.
Well, they are one or the other. They're not both.
Yes, they are both. They are male and female.
Okay, they have both sexual organs.
Yes.
One works, one doesn't.
They both work.
No, they cannot both work. They cannot both work. They cannot be both male and female at the same time. They cannot both work.
They may
have them, but they do not both work.
I'm just saying that I had a friend that.
Okay,
was,
can your friend father a child and then give birth to one?
I have no idea.
Well, I do, and they can't. Both of them do not work. One may work, the other one will not work. But there are things like that that take place in nature, yes.
Well, they have both sexual organs.
Okay, but they normally, in the animal world, that animal cannot reproduce. And occasionally you will find an anomaly like that. Something goes wrong genetically.
They're born that way.
That will happen, but they cannot be both. And if you follow what I mean, they cannot be reproductive in both senses of the word.
Well, maybe they aren't, but how do they know which restroom to use?
Well, the one that works, Charlotte, is the one to use, you know.
Well, how do they know, you know? I mean, I just wanted to comment on that since I knew somebody that was.
Okay, well, you know, Charlotte, sometimes there are some very strange things that happen in the world today that cannot be explained. But like David says, they're both not functioning. But that is a very, very small, minute percentage of people that ever happens to. Very, very, very rare.
Well, it's like, you know, I call her she because she was operated on. You know, she was both, but she was operated on, so I call her a her.
Okay.
But whether she had ever had any kids, I don't know.
Let me, my wife is a nurse practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
And she just texted me and says, yes, sometimes they can be born with two sexual organs, but the organs that exist will be infertile.
Okay.
And so that that coming from the medical standpoint, she's a nurse practitioner. She knows what she's talking about.
Okay. Well, I just was curious about mm-hmm. that.
And so that is something that shows you that
she wasn't gay or she you know, or right. whatever you mm-hmm. know.
And so that's a good question. And so, but what's going to happen though? Sometimes people will take some strange event like that occurred and say, "Well, see, some people are born and they don't know if they're male or female." Well, you'll know if you're male or female, but this shows us.
Well, listen, I won't keep you. I just want to comment on it.
Okay. Charlotte, we really, really appreciate you calling. You can call us anytime.
Okay.
All right.
But, you know, David, there is a lot of confusion out there.
Sure there is. We've gone past our break, guys. We'll just roll right on with it because we don't need water. But what we have here at this particular point in time, we have talked about, and you mentioned just a moment ago, that why do they want to be liberated, and what do they want to be liberated from? They want to be liberated from the standard that God has set.
Exactly.
Now, God has some instructions for people who want to be liberated from the standard that he has set, and you will find them in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16. And there, God says, "Do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." So there is a choice to be made here. They are trying to be liberated from gender. Well, there is no such thing in God's spiritual world. You cannot be liberated from what you are.
And in trying to do so, what they're trying to do is liberate themselves from the truth of God's word.
Sure.
And what they're doing is setting themselves up for sin and a fall.
And Tony, just a moment ago, said that they used to talk about Satan an awful lot. Tony, we are still talking about Satan here. I want people to be afraid of this. They need to be afraid of this. I also want you to know that in love, God gave us this word.
That's right.
To guide our lives.
And this is going on in California, and the things that are happening at Tarleton State is nothing but of the devil.
Sure.
And so we need to be aware of that. And what Tony said a moment ago just shows us how quickly we need to get on top of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's already in our colleges. It's going to be in our elementary soon if it's not already there. And I'm sure in some sense it's already there because teachers have that kind of mentality many times. No, there are a lot of good teachers out there, a lot of good teachers. But there's a lot of teachers out there who are going to be trying to push this kind of agenda. And so we need to be aware of it. We need to be fighting against it. You know, and when I look at these points that were made there mm-hmm. David, the thing that really strikes me is it says, talks about how that no one can really know for sure if they're male or if they're female.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how ridiculous is that? You may look male on the outside, but really on the inside you're female. What they're trying to do is to put that doubt into the mind, not of mature adults.
But children
who don't know any better yet. And in doing so, here's a boy. Let's just say here's a boy here. He's a boy. He knows he's a boy. But he looks over there and he sees a purse. He says, "Man, that's kind of a pretty looking purse." Uh-oh. I remember what the teacher said. Maybe I'm a girl.
Yeah.
You see, that gets started because of somebody putting something in their mind, when in reality, there's nothing female about saying, "That's a pretty looking purse there. That's kind of cool looking."
Mm-hmm.
But because they put that in their mind, now they're beginning to doubt their boyhood or their manhood.
Right.
That's indoctrination when they're young, and that's training the minds of our young people. And what we need to do, David, is start training the minds of our young people in the truth. Just like Tony mentioned, maybe homeschooling is the best thing to do in some situations, but at the very least, we need to be indoctrinating our kids about what the Bible has to say.
We need to understand what God has to say about this kind of behavior. You see, there is a word that God uses throughout the New Testament That word is called temperance.
Exactly.
That word temperance means self-control. And you will find that word temperance used throughout the Bible. As a matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 5 in verse 21, we have the word temperance used as one of the fruits of the Spirit. It is right there along with love and joy and peace. Temperance, that means absolute and total self-control. Do I have a tendency to be something that I don't need to be? Now, this kind of gets me back. By the way, you can look in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning there along about in verse number 5, you have the Christian grace is also given to us, and there you will have the word temperance also used, and there are other places as well, but the point being made is this, self-control. Okay, now they're saying that you may not know, and the implication is that you might need to check this out just to see if you are male or just to see if you're a female. Okay, now what if I have a tendency to like little bitty children? Pedophilia. Well, should my tendency then tell me, well, I need to try that out to make sure that I'm not a pedophile?
Mm-hmm.
You see, temperance comes in all sorts of God's, all sorts of the Christian life that we live. We are bound by temperance. We're not liberated from temperance. We are bound by temperance.
That's right. Just because you are tempted to do a certain thing does not mean you need to do it. You know, and until we realize self-control, well, you know, the more you're around, as we mentioned a moment ago in 2 Timothy, it talked about how things wax worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. When you try one thing and you give into that temptation, then what are you going to do? You're going to go to the next step and then to the next step and then to the next step because you have lost self-control. That's what we need to put back into the lives of our people. I don't care if you have a tendency for this or not. I don't care if you're born with two sex organs or not. I don't care if you're male on the outside and somebody told you you're female on the outside. Whatever it is, you use self-control and you use the Bible to control whatever urges you think that you might have or what somebody told you that you may have. You use the Bible and use that to control yourself and just, well, one old preacher told me one time, the way he counsels people when they're involved in something that they ought not to be doing, he says, just stop it. Just stop it. That's self-control.
Absolutely. Now, just to show you folks, and we're going to run out of time here before we get through with all of this, but I want to show you how bad that this is out there with the California Teachers Association. First of all, this gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender conference that was hosted by the California Teachers Association brought out a few things. One, they interviewed some of these teachers that went to this thing. One, it was a fourth grade teacher by the name of Lisa Bartoli, and she's identified here, and she is quoted as saying, says, I know that some of my elementary students may be experiencing a sense of being different without attaching such feelings to a specific identity. Now, my question here, Tom, is what gives this fourth grade teacher the right to sense and to may be experiencing with that kind of knowledge, that blind knowledge that she thinks she has, what gives her the right to go and tell a child that she needs to be able to specifically identify what he or she may or may not be?
Yeah, especially on things that might be, could be, things I feel might happen. It's totally subjective, and what they're doing is changing a whole society based upon a subjective feeling that may or may not even be there. How ridiculous is that? You know, and in the same thing, this same conference, David, they said that 9 out of 10 of the GLBT, that is the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender people, or students, have experienced harassment at school at a rate of 2 to 3 times as often as straight teens. Now, they make this assertion, David, but they give no documentation to back it up. But that's the way of the world. They will make assertions, but not be able to back it up. How do you know this is occurring? Just because they say it's occurring?
How do these children know that they're gay in the first place? You know, children don't know they're gay unless they're told they're gay.
You know, and also they said that more than one-third of these students, the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender students, have attempted suicide.
Do you know something that is very peculiar about that statement? They're implying that this comes from their bullying, and that's the reason they want to commit suicide. But from a psychological standpoint, all through the 20th century and before, homosexuality was considered to be a mental disorder. It wasn't until the latter part of the 20th century that what they call, quote, the mainstream psychological and psychiatric field has determined that that is no longer a mental disorder. All in the world they did was they got another bunch of psychologists and another bunch of psychiatrists in there that were acceptable to the homosexual radical movement, and they took it out.
That's right.
That's all.
And God has all along said it is a spiritual problem. It is a moral issue.
Mm-hmm.
This means you're not right in your mind when you transgress God's law. Anytime you transgress God's law, you're not right in your mind.
Absolutely.
And, you know, these teenagers that are involved in this and say that they're one-third of these kids are attempting suicide. You know why they're attempting suicide, or allegedly, is because these teachers and various things are putting these things in their mind. Had they not been in their mind and put there by those who are propagating this issue, how many would have tried to commit suicide in the first place?
It's amazing that 30, 40, 50 years ago we didn't have this problem.
Exactly right.
We didn't have this teaching either.
It wasn't being set forth like it is today.
Just a moment ago, and I think I told Ron that we would get to this, and I want to read it before we get through it. The California legislation, this is some of the legislation that's coming out of California, now mandates their school systems to incorporate safety in schools and positive contributions of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, historical figures into their curriculum. Now, what do you think they're going to get out of that? The children.
They're going to learn and be taught that the lesbian gay lifestyle is an acceptable lifestyle. But the Bible says different, doesn't it?
The Bible says altogether different. Now, friends, this fella that went to this conference is named Robert V. Rodriguez. He teaches special education in the 4th to the 8th grade. Special education. Some of these kids don't know come here from Sikkim, and he's teaching them that come here from Sikkim doesn't make any difference. Either come here or Sikkim either is the same thing. Now, the California legislation is mandating this be taught in the school system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can just go on and on and on. We've got enough material here to go through two or three sessions with this stuff. But the point that we're trying to make here, as have we always tried to make, is you have heard what men have had to say. Now, this is where the teaching of mankind can take you. Now, listen to what the Bible has to say. God says it is an immoral sin that will send your soul to hell, and don't let any legislation talk you out of it, because God's Word teaches us differently.
That's right, and I want to remind you again what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Friends, that's what we're going right now, and we need to stop this right now. We can do it by being good Bible students and speaking up and standing for what is right. David, give
Amen.
Us the last word.
Last word. God bless America and God bless our troops. Thank you for calling
in. AEQX 89.7 Stephenville, Comanche, and Bluffdale.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can hack. It's early to rise, early in the sack. Thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no...